This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The connection between interest rates and crummy stock markets today.
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. A recipe for a bad day on the stock market. First, you stir in higher interest rates after the Federal Reserve Chairman said yesterday the Fed could soon ease off on its stimulus. And now we have a yield on the benchmark 10-year T-note, at least early this morning, bubbling around 2%. But that's just the beginning. Chris Lowe is chief economist at FTN Financial. Morning, Chris.
Good morning.
But then things really start to unravel in Asia, it looks like.
Well, unravel. My goodness, the stock market over there fell more than 7% this morning, with financials, consumer lenders down more than 10%. It was a stunning one-day reversal, in fact.
This is concern about higher interest rates ahead in Japan.
Yeah, that's right. Well, ahead and already happening, you know, the markets anticipate. And it's interesting, Japan's engaged in an enormous QE program. It's far more aggressive than ours, that is the central bank buying bonds. That's supposed to drive rates lower. Their 10-year note yields, though, were at about 0.5% when they announced the program. They're now closing in on 1%, so they've been going in the opposite direction. Last night, China announced that its manufacturing sector was slowing down. That was the catalyst that started the sell-off. But when you ask people who trade, they'll tell you higher interest rates. That's what they're worried about.
Chris Lowe, FTN Financial, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
ESPN is one of the Walt Disney Company's most profitable divisions, and the sports network is growing. So why has ESPN just announced layoffs? Shannon Mullen reports.
ESPN's building a huge new set for its flagship show, SportsCenter, and it's launching a network for the Southeastern Conference. But no pain, no gain. So it's cutting up to 400 jobs out of about 7,000 worldwide.
I thought it was a little surprising given that the fact that the company's renewed so many deals with its cable and satellite partners, so its revenue structure's relatively secure at this point.
Tony Weibel's a media analyst at Janney Capital Markets. He says pro athletes' salaries are driving up the cost of rights to broadcast live sports. And starting in August, ESPN will have to compete with Fox's new sports network. So don't assume it's laying people off to please shareholders, says Michael Greenberg at the Rand Center for Corporate Ethics.
What you would hope is that a responsible corporation that's thinking about its long-term viability, that it genuinely is thinking about the impact of its strategic decisions.
ESPN says it's confident the cuts will make the network more innovative. I'm Shannon Mullen for Marketplace.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
In the U.S., something nice about the real economy. The number of people signing up for unemployment benefits fell by 23,000 last week. That's a volatile statistic week to week, so we'll keep an eye on it. The mobile phone company Sprint Nextel is up for grabs, and two big companies are interested, Dish, a U.S. satellite TV company, and SoftBank, based in Japan. There's a report in the Wall Street Journal today that SoftBank would consider letting the U.S. government appoint one member of Sprint's board of directors if Washington lets the deal go through. Marketplace's David Gura has more.
SoftBank had offered $20 billion for Sprint, and it was all but a done deal. Then, Dish offered $25 billion.
Sprint is now in a catbird seat.
Jeff Kagan is a tech analyst in Atlanta. He says a Japanese company has to plead its case to many more regulators.
SoftBank, in order to make this deal possible, has to jump through a lot more hoops. But they're doing it.
There's growing unease among U.S. regulators about the role of foreign companies in the U.S. telecom sector, especially companies based in Asia. The U.S. is worried about protectionism and espionage. Rob Frieden teaches telecom law at Penn State. He says SoftBank, by reportedly agreeing to let the U.S. government have a seat on Sprint's board, is addressing those concerns head on.
It comes across as very intrusive, but on the other hand, it sort of emphasizes how serious the United States government takes the matter of Chinese espionage.
If the SoftBank deal goes through, AT&T would be the only major wireless carrier in the U.S. not owned, at least in part, by a foreign company. I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
The data on brand spanking new home sales come out later this morning. That's after news that sales of used houses and apartments hit the highest level since 2009. When you can sell a house more easily, you can go in search of a new job more easily. If you stay in America, it's called domestic migration. Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell joins us. Good morning.
Good morning, David.
All right. What exactly is this idea of domestic migration?
Well, ever since the frontier, we've always been seeking a better opportunity. So when I graduated from college, went from California to New York, eventually to New Jersey, then to Minnesota. And this has provided a lot of the dynamism to the U.S. economy, has provided a lot of strength to the housing market over time. So domestic migration has a big impact on economic growth regionally and nationally.
We can move toward opportunity, but what happened to domestic migration during the Great Recession?
Well, it fell to a post-World War II low, and the reason is quite simple. The housing market. You know, people couldn't unload their place. So you're living in Wisconsin, and there's an opportunity in California, but you owned a home, you couldn't unload it, maybe did a short sale, maybe a foreclosure. Another part of migration in the post-World War II era has been retirees moving from the snow belt to the sun belt. Again, they couldn't sell their home, they didn't move.
The Tuareg, the nomadic people in North Africa, they have this proverb, Chris. They say houses are the graves of the living, you know? You get stuck sometimes with real estate. So maybe now that the Great Recession is picking up, people will move. Where to?
Well, a lot of the movement is going to the South and the West. A lot of it is moving to Texas, where there's good job opportunities. Have you noticed the strength of the housing market in Phoenix and Las Vegas? So we're starting to see the South and the West benefiting from this domestic migration, not just foreigners coming here to the U.S., but people moving from states looking for opportunities.
But that's not the end of the story.
Oh, no, not at all. And, you know, yes, we're having the equivalent of pent-up demand, but I think a couple of years from now, we're going to look back and say, you know, Americans aren't moving as much as they used to. And there's a nuance to this story, David. You can go on the internet. You can really learn a lot about a metropolitan area before you move there.
Let me understand this. So with technology, we can do more research where we already live to see if there's new opportunity, but we could also use the internet to see if, in fact, the grass is not greener on the other side.
That's exactly right. Whereas in the old days, well, you say, all right, let's see what happens.
Chris Farrell, economics correspondent at Marketplace. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, David.
And the first known case of a fellow losing not his glasses, but his Google Glass, $1,500 of eyeglass frames with a screen connected to the internet, probably at airport security, he thinks. And the sting of technology part two, the couple in Wales, whose cell phone was quietly connecting to the internet every 20 minutes for 3 weeks. The monthly bill, the UK sterling equivalent of $240,000. The husband says he did notice his phone was running a bit warm. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.